I'm just wondering if I'm going to be able to see this thing because I have to lean in.
Need your bifocals?
You know, that's a good idea. Let me go get my glasses. Ow! Boop-a-doop-a-doop. Where are we? I got my glasses. I'm putting my earphones in. And so, of course, another... So I'm wearing my glasses, and I forget that they project out, so I have to lean really close to the microphone. But every time I turn my head, I bump the microphone.
Hmm. Are you bumping the microphone or the pop guard?
The pop guard.
Could you attach the pop guard to your face?
Then I'd probably hit the microphone with the pop guard. But I can't, unfortunately.
Maybe you should try.
Rig a Hannibal Lecter-like mask?
Yes.
Yeah.
And take photos. To document the process, of course.
Yes, of course. I'm Phil DeLuca.
I'm Nate Burgess.
And Sean is unable to join us this time. We are Commander In.
Yeah, we are.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We focus on topics the community wants to hear about and talk to interesting people along the way. But never, ever, Nate, do we talk about three banned topics.
Mm-mm.
Religion, politics, and Hearthstone. You can find us on all the social media that matters. Not gonna name them, Nate.
Don't.
By searching for... Commander In MTG podcast, maybe on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube.
Stop.
This week, we have a wonderful show lined up for you. We're going to highlight some shadows over Innistrad cards and how we think they will work in Commander. But first, a little news. Nate, this falls under the shameless self-promotion category, doesn't it?
Shameless.
We were, once again... highlighted on Daily MTG on Thursday, the 24th of March. We'll include the show notes because you should go take a look at that. Give Blake Rasmussen congratulations for selecting yet another fine podcast.
Congratulations, Blake.
Congratulations, Blake. I almost feel like a song is in order there. Almost.
Rasmussen. His name is Blake. Rasmussen.
Ah, Nate. All right. And so the second bit of news in our shameless self-promotion. We have a Patreon up that's available. You can come visit us at patreon.com/commanderinmtg. And all we're asking is for just 1/4 to 1/3 the cost of a Starbucks coffee or, you know, maybe a Pete's or coffee bean and tea leaf. What else, Nate? What other chains can we recommend?
I don't know, but if you don't recommend all of them, then you're gonna annoy somebody.
Yeah. All right. So if we annoyed you, go to our Patreon. Pledge a dollar. Just $1 a show. If everybody or even half the audience pledged a dollar a show, we would be able to meet all of our goals and bring all sorts of fancy content. More song parodies, maybe full song parodies. I've got a couple. Not as good as yours, Nate.
Eh,
yeah.
We'll see.
And maybe we'd sing a little bit more to Blake Rasmussen.
We'll see what you come up with.
Uh-oh, that's a challenge. Okay, new set coming out, and we are all excited to brew with some of these legendary creatures, aren't we?
Eh, some of them.
Yeah, some of them. And some of them may not be so good, but we're excited to brew with them anyway. you are brewing with which one, Nate?
Tried out Odric, and he makes me not completely hate mono white.
Wow. Yeah, I heard about some of the playtest sessions you've been doing, and it sounds exciting.
He's pretty neat. He stacks up the keywords.
Well, I guess when we talk about Audric a little bit later in the show, we'll go into a little bit more detail.
Yeah, he's kind of like Slivers.
Oh, right.
Because each creature that you bring out with a new keyword gives it to everybody else.
So it's almost like you can play a Slivers deck without feeling dirty.
Yeah.
Do you do any tribal with it as well?
Humans and angels.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's cool. Well, can't wait to see that. If you have a list, it'd be great to give that link to our listeners.
Yeah, I do. I already put it on Twitter.
Well, look at you. I am in the process of brewing a, what I like to call a frog god of Gitrog. So the Gitrog monster. Essentially a Golgari good stuff creature, right?
Yeah, he's a weird one.
Yeah, he is. We'll see. Maybe my... Did I mention I'm in a desert?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, what was that? It's like a spider crawled into my throat and died there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Do they have a card with that on it?
They should.
Wait, Skin Invasion is pretty close. Yeah.
Skin Invasion is creepy. That one might be our creepiest card. Well, it remains to be seen if the Gitrog monster, as it is formally known, is better in the 99 of a couple of commanders like Sidisi. It actually makes Sidisi's effect a lot more viable. Certainly, the frog monster goes into Mimeoplasm. We'll see if the frog god can stand on its own.
I think it goes into Tassigar.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, man. Oh, so many cards in this set go into so many of the decks we play. But let's get on to the main topic, Shadows over Innistrad, directly, like as a set, as opposed to individual cards. So what's going on in the story there, Nate?
Avacyn's going crazy.
Yep. She's going bad.
And apparently Sorin has to exile her.
Anguishedly.
It seems like Tamio's around, if you look at some of the art.
Yep.
But she's not on... She's got her journal, but she's not actually doing stuff on cards.
She's in the cropped portion of the art for Anguished Unmaking.
Right.
I haven't seen her elsewhere except, of course, her journal is all over the place, and each of the clue tokens has a quote from Tamio on it.
So she's the scrappy private investigator behind the scenes, looking through the seamy underbelly of the city that never sleeps.
Yep.
Yep.
Or is Jace that role? And then he runs into Tamio, who has disappeared.
I'm so tired of Jace.
I know. He's overexposed. We understand the need for a face protagonist in each of these sets because of the, you know, that you're telling a story, you need a protagonist, but please, enough Jace.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you have put as the main protagonist for this set, Nate?
I think Nahiri's the main protagonist of this set.
The protagonist, really?
Mm-hmm.
Because she's destroying Innistrad?
She's got to clean stuff up.
Isn't it the case that she's making the mess and Sorin has to clean it up?
I think it's a situation where there are two competing messes, and you have to decide which mess you want to go along with. But we're not here to talk about the United States presidential elections. We're talking about Magic cards.
So what do you think she's doing on Innistrad? Sure, she's messing up a few vampire homes, and she looks like she's encasing some vampires in stone, maybe even driving the stone through them.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I don't remember the card name, but with that one where Sorin is essentially in a gallery of vampires encased in stone, and he looks sort of sad.
Something happened here. Declaration in Stone.
Oh, that's the name of the card?
Yes.
Nice one.
And he has pillars of vampire flesh.
Yeah. How cool is that?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So what do you think she's doing with all of those cryptoliths?
Busting stuff.
Yeah. Driving folk mad.
Sure.
And then the Drownyard Temple, right? That ring of cryptoliths, I guess, at the bottom of the drown yard.
Hmm.
Or what is she summoning?
I don't know, but I thought there were supposed to be shadows over Innistrad, not under the waves next to Innistrad.
Yeah. Maybe this was deception. Maybe they were referring to the angels as the shadows?
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And if so, it doesn't really fit. I mean, maybe, sure, angels, of course, fly, I get that, but kind of expected something a little larger, didn't you?
Well, vampires fly, but we're used to seeing those in Innistrad already.
Yeah. Yeah. Next set is called Eldritch Moon. Do you think maybe the moon is something other than a moon? That's no moon. Ah!
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the drown yard. Is that the Nephalia drown yard? Is it in Nephalia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it looks, for all intents and purposes, like some sort of portal or gate, right? Portals in magic, but gates in every other fantasy literature.
Or it's a garbage disposal for your spare boats.
Yeah, maybe we'll be throwing things through that portal, and it will end up somewhere else. It's like a gate to Phyrexia, maybe.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's one of my theories. I think she's bringing Phyrexia to Innistrad. The Emrakul and even the Marit Lage straw men are too obvious.
Well, something's got to happen with Emrakul.
Yep.
Pretty soon, right?
Yeah, pretty soon. I mean, unless like they just let it fade. But that doesn't feel like good storytelling. They do have to close.
But they came as three.
Yeah.
And they make a point to point that out, that they came as three.
Yeah, it's all this telegraphing.
Yeah, they can't let that fade out after pointing it out so much.
No.
Or else we just won't listen to their story pointers anymore.
Right. Well, I mean, unless Jace points them out, right?
That makes it even less likely.
Could also be, with all of the introduction of, like, there's definitely a horror sub-theme coming through, right?
Mm-hmm.
And who works with horrors? Is that the Cabal? Is that maybe whatever Ashiok works for? Ashiok was a nightmare-based group, right? Or
I don't know. What is Ashiok's story?
There isn't much about Ashiok. Just Ashiok appeared and he or she or it just started nightmaring things. That's a verb.
Like Commanderin.
Yeah, like Commanderin. All right. I guess we'll have to wait until Eldritch Moon to see how the story resolves. I'm bummed. I wanted to see an Eldrazi this set.
If it resolves at all.
Yeah. Well, with Jace on the scene, we know that they'll come to a conclusion. Let's talk about the mechanics of... I was going to say Soarin' over Innistrad. Soarin' over California, of course, is an attraction at... Disney California Adventure. So in Shadows Over Innistrad, what mechanics are we looking at? You want to start us off, Nate?
All right. So there is madness, which is a keyword, which means, hey, if there's a situation where you need to discard a card, then discard this one, and then you can cast it instead of, well, in addition to discarding it.
Yeah.
A lot of those in red that are basically for Olivia mobilized for war to use. So you can't really talk about madness without also talking about delirium.
Right.
Which is another mechanic. It goes along with discarding your cards because delirium wants you to have four or more card types in your graveyard. Now, in Commander games, that basically means that any card with delirium is still playable in the late game. Unless there's a lot of graveyard hate. Which there probably will be.
Especially if madness and delirium take off as mechanics we use.
I don't imagine that happening, though.
Madness isn't too bad.
It's not too bad.
It makes all of the rummaging and looting cards that we already kind of use, right? The draw two, discard one, or discard a card, draw a card.
Yeah.
It makes those pretty useful.
It makes them less painful, sure.
And the wording on madness changed, so now you discard the card into exile, and then there's a triggered ability that says when you do, you can cast it for its madness cost.
Right, so that little pocket dimension of exile is makes it temporarily vulnerable to processors?
It depends, because you have priority when you use this effect. And actually, while the effect is resolving, you have to choose. Do you cast it or don't you? And if you don't, then it goes into your graveyard, and then people can respond to it.
Mm.
But I don't think it's ever in the exile long enough to be reacted to.
Okay.
I could be wrong. Have you used any Delirium cards yet in your playtesting?
No.
I used a couple in the Blessed versus Cursed deck. I was just, playing a couple of games over lunch. And the Delirium effect is pretty cool. It's not that hard to hit either, at least in a 60-card deck, but we'll see. We tend to play in proportion. We tend to play fewer instants and sorceries, depending on, whether or not there's rebound and how useful the sorcery is.
Right.
Yeah. A returning keyword is transform. That means cards with transform can roll out for free, right?
What?
Transform and roll out.
Autobots,
yeah.
Assemble. Oh, hang on. One more thing about Delirium. Oh, yeah. It makes your fetch lands a little more important.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that just lets you put a land type into the graveyard. Cycling lands, too. That makes them slightly more useful. Potential synergies for these self-destructing cards with Delirium.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good. A couple of the enchantments, both in this set, the Vessel series, the Vessel Cycle, and some of the, from Theros block. They're the enchantments that you put into play, and then you can sacrifice them for an effect.
I don't like those too much.
No, I don't think they generally work very well, but if you're in some sort of deck that needs sacrificing, say with a Mazurek, or now if you're looking to trigger Delirium on some, some key cards, it might be useful. I think there are better ways, absolutely, but I think their usefulness just sort of ticked up a single notch. The transform keyword returned, Autobots and Decepticons aside, and that basically means that if you meet certain criteria, certain conditions, you can turn the double face card upside down, which changes the face that's visible, and of course, it's a double-faced card. And so transform means you show the other face of the card, and usually that has some special ability. You notice, though, this time the werewolves in the set did not double power and toughness like they did in the first set.
Yeah, they also didn't become legendary either.
Yeah, that's a big problem. And this is really weird because Mark Rosewater makes a big deal about, over meeting the player expectations. And there's no legendary werewolf in this set. I mean, we have some time to talk about it later, but this just feels like a tremendous oversight. He said on Tumblr that Arlen Cord, and we'll get to that card later, was kind of fighting for space with the legendary werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
But it just feels like it's annoying, let's put it that way.
Yeah, right now your werewolf tribal commander is Xenagos.
Yeah, not very thematic. Well, and I haven't checked the internet in the last couple of days, but I know that he was already dealing with some of the requests and basic fury over not having a legendary werewolf. So we have a new keyword, investigate.
And
and investigate basically means that whenever it calls for it, you put a colorless clue artifact token onto the battlefield, and it has, for 2 generic mana, sacrifice this artifact, draw a card. What do you think?
Free artifacts? I don't know. I could see making something with Sidri and maybe Tezzeret that could turn them all into Wyrmcoil engines.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's concentrated largely in blue. There's a little bit in white and green.
Well, Sidri's blue and white.
Yeah. But if you're already blue, you have the card draw. And so white really needs it, but there aren't a lot of cards that generate clues in white. So, I don't know. Well, I think there's some potential there, and at the very least, you can sacrifice them for extra card draw when you have some mana to dump, but it has to be a pretty special card for you to use it in the first place. What do you think of Skulk?
Skulk is... it's okay.
Yeah. And it's this creature can't be blocked by creatures with greater power. There have been a couple of creatures already printed, like printed in Magic's past, where they couldn't be blocked by creatures with greater power, and that's like Maternal Witness, and I forget now, but they formalized the name Skulk. It's pretty cool. It fits.
Yeah, it would be good with Infect.
Yeah, that's true. It would be. There are cards that grant Skulk, so... do you think you're going to use them in your Infect decks?
I don't know. What grants Skulk?
A couple of enchantments. Might not be in the right colors, though.
Well, Odric could give Skulk to everyone if one of your characters has Skulk.
Yep.
So I could make a mono-white Infect deck and find a white Skulk creature.
Yeah.
Hmm. Sounds like a... tall order there.
Maybe in Eldritch Moon.
Maybe so.
Yep. So how about that tribal support? A lot of tribes. Horrors. Zombies. Lots of zombies, huh?
I like the zombies.
Vampires, spirits, werewolves and wolves, sort of. But poor legendary werewolves.
Mm.
And humans. And like you pointed out, there's a knight sub-theme, too.
Yeah, most of the knights so far are white. In Magic card history, there's a few black ones, there's a few red ones.
Yeah.
There are some knights in all colors, but there aren't really that many at all in blue and green.
No, right. So are you going to build a white-black or white-black-red knights deck?
Well, I would much prefer to make a red-white-black vampire deck.
Ooh.
But I would need a legendary Mardu vampire for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the recent Olivia is going to postpone that.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, returning to Innistrad, there are a whole bunch of Graveyard Matters cards, some of which we will talk about. Now that we've got our mechanics and story behind us, Nate, why don't you lead us into cards?
Okay, so I picked one card of each color, and one artifact, and one land, and one multicolored card.
Yes, you picked quality.
And Phil picked all the rest of the cards. He's going to talk about all the rest of the cards. I'm just going to talk about one in each color and one artifact and one land and one multicolor.
I'm a sharer. If you want to talk about a couple of mine, you can talk about them.
Oh, okay. That's great. Okay. So starting off with white. I'm going with a lot of my cards are tribal picks. So I think Thalia's Lieutenant is going to see some play. It's one and a white creature, human soldier, 1/1. When Thalia's Lieutenant enters the battlefield, put a 1/1 counter on each other human you control.
Yeah, that's excellent.
I'll do that by itself just for one and a white in a human tribal deck. And whenever another human enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on Thalia's Lieutenant. So if you're doing a human tribal deck, for example, Shadowborn Apostles, and you're doing that kind of shenanigans, having a dozen Shadowborn Apostles come back from your graveyard, then you'll have a 30-30 Thalia's Lieutenant eventually at some point in the game for one and a white.
Brutal. Brutal. Yeah, I agree. I think this will be used in Commander a lot. It was on my list until I saw it was on yours.
Yeah, but everything's on you.
Well, yeah, yeah. I have like 260 cards on my list.
All right, moving on. My next one is Thing in the Ice. One in a blue. Creature horror, defender, Thing in the Ice. Enters the battlefield with four ice counters on it. Hey, do you like Dark Depths? And you're doing those shenanigans with Vampire Hexmage and Thief of Blood? Throw Thing in the Ice in there. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, remove an ice counter from Thing in the Ice. Then if it has no ice counters on it, transform it into Awoken Horror, no big deal. Creature Kraken Horror, 7/8. Average, mediocre. when this creature transforms into Awoken Horror, return all non-horror creatures to their owner's hands. All right. Yeah, that's mildly useful.
Yeah. Yeah, I sense a horror deck coming out of you.
Aren't they all? All right, moving on to my black pick, Diagraph Colossus, two in a black, creature, zombie, giant. It's a 2/2. Diagraph Colossus enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter on it for each zombie card in your graveyard, which, if you're playing a zombie tribal deck, that's going to be, what, 5-6 counters at least?
Yeah.
And whenever you cast a zombie spell, you get a free zombie.
So you get a rooftop storm out, and then you're getting free zombie cards and free zombie tokens.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely.
For two and a black. Two and a black.
Yeah. Is it a good or bad thing that the moment I saw this, I thought of you and dreaded seeing it across the table?
Well, you're going to see it.
Mm.
All right, my red pick. They snuck this in at the last minute.
Yeah, they did.
Stencia Masquerade. Two and a red. Enchantment. Attacking creatures you control have first strike. Okay. And whenever a vampire you control deals combat damage to a player, put a +1/+1 counter on it. All right. Oh, and hey, if you have to discard this card for some reason, like, say, you're Olivia Mobilized for War, then its madness cost is two and a red, which is the same as its regular cost.
Yeah. I like that they did that with a bunch of madness cards.
In red.
Essentially made its discard, they made its madness cost the same as its casting cost because, you know, free discard, so cast it. Stencia Masquerade's great.
Yeah, that's going to get in some vampire tribal decks. Still want that Mardu vampire, though.
Yep.
Legendary Mardu vampire. Come on.
I think there's a werewolf tribe in line first.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I guess what? 3 years?
Yeah, it's going to be a while.
Okay, green. Ulvenwald Hydra.
Mm-hmm.
Four green, green. Creature Hydra. Star, star. With reach. That makes it the best thing ever. No, but wait. Ulvenwald Hydra, his power and toughness, or her power and toughness, are each equal to the number of lands you control, which is probably at least 6. And when Ulvenwald Hydra enters the battlefield, you may search your library for a land card. Any land card.
Any land card.
Put it onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle your library. So that could be a Dark Depths. That could be a... Is there a blue player who's taking all your creatures? Maybe it could be a Homeward Path. Are you a blue character who's trying to take everyone's creatures? Maybe get an Arcane Lighthouse so you can target them.
Or a Strip Mine so you can get rid of that pesky Homeward Path.
Hey now, you stay away from my Homeward Path.
Yeah, this card was the preview card that friend of the show, Bruce Richard, got to spoil.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and he had the example of grab a Rogue's Passage and then hit him with an Ulvenwald Hydra.
For example. What I like about this, though, it's another of those Hydras that has a really funky head, or in this case, 5 of them. It's just all teeth, rows of teeth like lampreys. It's a lot like, actually, some other Hydras.
Or drilling machines.
Yeah. This is one of the cards that I think points to Phyrexia, by the way.
All right.
Yeah. Grumble. Yeah, I see this getting a lot of use. Everybody was comparing it to Primetime, and it's like, Primetime is hideously broken. This card is really useful and not so broken. And at 6 mana, that's mid-game, and so you now know what the landscape is, you know pretty much what everybody's doing, and you're able to pull a land that you need to kind of solve whatever problem is happening to you.
Yeah, Maze of Ith.
Yep. And if you're in one of its allied colors, or say playing blue and green, but who plays blue and green in Commander, you can maybe flicker this for fun and profit. Just saying. Maybe a rune deck. I don't know. And with Reach, it's a really defensive card.
All right.
Now, if only there was some way to give it trample in green.
Nope. There are no ways to do that. Oh, speaking of giving things trample, I'll talk about an artifact. Haunted Cloak for 3. Artifact equipment. Equipped creature has vigilance, trample, and haste. Mm-hmm. And you equip it for 1. So if you like Chariot of Victory,
yeah,
I believe, then you'll probably like this one too.
Does this overlap at all with Chariot of Victory?
Yeah, they both have trample and haste. But the chariot gives you first strike instead of vigilance. And vigilance might be more useful.
Yeah, it might be, especially if you're pairing it with some big beater that you don't care if it remains tapped. You just want it in there. And both, of course, work really well with Audric, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Audric doesn't have much access to trample and haste without getting into artifacts.
Right. Yeah, that's a good card. Cheap equip cost, too.
Yeah, it's the same mana cost as Chariot of Victory.
Excellent. Maybe that's kind of a long-term cycle they're doing.
All right. Now I will talk about my favorite land in this set.
It's a great land.
Westvale Abbey. It's a land. You can tap it to add colorless to your mana pool. Or you can pay 5 and tap it and pay 1 life to put a 1/1 white and black human cleric creature token onto the battlefield. Hey, it's kind of like Springjack Pasture. Nice peaceful pasture, just creating these peaceful creatures. And there's another ability. If you pay 5 and you tap it, and you sacrifice 5 creatures, transform Westvale Abbey.
Uh-oh.
Then untap it. And it transforms into Ormondal Profane Prince, legendary creature demon. 9/7, flying, lifelink, indestructible, and haste.
Oh my god.
Mediocre.
Yeah.
No, it's pretty good.
Yeah. It's the haste that really tips it over the edge into useful, isn't it?
Well, it's already on the battlefield.
Yeah.
Unless you transform it on the turn that you play it.
Right.
So it doesn't really need haste.
Yeah, but it is a nice surprise. So if you have a whole bunch of thralls out or Shadowborn Apostles.
Yeah, this last ability on this land basically simulates a Shadowborn Apostle deck.
Yeah.
You have a small group of religious extremists working against their own interests to bring an unholy abomination into power. But we're not here to talk about the United States presidential elections. We're here to talk about Westvale Abbey.
That's right, which is clearly located in Skurzdag in Innistrad. Not Washington, D.C. No. Yeah, really good card. I really don't know what to look forward to in a pack of Shadows over Innistrad. So many good rares in Mythic Rares in this set. Ormondal.
Yeah, there's one more card that I like. It's a multicolored card, and they also snuck this in at the last minute. Nahiri's Machinations.
Yes.
1 and a white. Enchantment. At the beginning of combat on your turn, target creature you control gains indestructible until end of turn. That's useful.
That's really good.
And for 1 and a red, Nahiri's Machinations deals 1 damage to target blocking creature. Pew, 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 pew.
Get out. Nahiri's a sharpshooter. Or she knows how to hire them. That is a great card.
So Boros Aggro, get going with your machinations.
And it's an uncommon card, so this will never, not for 10 years at least, will it ever become expensive. Those are all great, Nate.
Wow, thank you.
This actually, Nahiri's Machinations might also go into a Boros Pillow Fort deck.
Sure. What is that? What?
You know, all those Pillow Boros Fort cards Pillow Fort? In Boros.
Sorin, I'm going to take everything from you.
Do you think that's how Nahiri sounds?
No, she's madder. She's angrier than that. Because Sorin had to kill their baby. After they made sweet love and had albino baby Avacyn.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Do you think...
That's what happened.
How do you know that's what happened?
Well, in my unpublished fan fiction novel, it is.
That's awesome. When are you going to publish that?
Oh, that's, I don't know.
I say we get on that. I guess she is kind of more angry than that. So it's more like, Sorin, I'm going to take everything from you. Yeah, maybe Nahiri smoked a lot of cigarettes. Shall we get into my list? It's short.
Okay, let's strap in.
Yeah, so I was like a kid in a candy shop, and where you went for quality and selected the one card that was perfect for each color, I just sort of shoveled everything into a basket and began gorging. I started with Open the Armory, a sorcery for one and a white. Search your library for an aura or equipment card, reveal it, and put it into your hand. Then shuffle your library. That's great. It's a tutor for all those fancy equipments that we like to use in Commander. We maybe use one or two, right? I just think we're going to see a lot of that card. And it's uncommon, so it won't break the bank.
So if you can't afford an enlightened tutor and you want to pay twice the mana, then here you go.
Right. If you want to pay twice the mana and do it at sorcery speed, then this is the card for you. But again, you know, I'm looking at, I have a deck I'm brewing, and I wanted to put Enlightened Tutor in it. I've only got one. I'm fortunate that I have one. But I don't want to pay $14 for an Enlightened Tutor just because it's on the stupid reserve list.
Mm-mm.
So, anyway.
So don't.
Yeah, so don't. Exactly. Use this instead. It's a little slower, but it's not like we're playing a lot of Commander tournaments anyway. My next card was Pious Evangel. Evangel?
Probably Evangel.
Yeah. Pious Evangel for two and a white. Creature, human, cleric, a 2/2. Whenever Pious Evangel or another creature enters the battlefield under your control, you gain one life. All right. Not bad. For two and tap, sacrifice another permanent. Oh, that's dark. Transform Pious Evangel into Wayward Disciple, who happened to be pictured on Nahiri's Machinations, by the way. Whenever Wayward Disciple or another creature you control dies, target opponent loses one life and you gain one life. So it changes from a Soul Sister into a Blood Artist.
Yeah.
Yeah, not bad.
And you could do it in response to a board wipe.
Yeah, that's true. He's going away. You might as well get something out of it. And penalize the person who dared to board wipe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you get.
I only had the two white cards, so we'll go right into blue. Epiphany at the Drown Yard for X and a blue. Reveal the top X plus one cards of your library and separate them into two piles. An opponent chooses one of those piles. Put that pile into your hand and the other into your graveyard. I mean, yeah, so your opponent's choosing, and so something will come up that's pretty clearly the card that they don't want you to have. Oh, and did I mention it's an instant? So you do this at the end of your turn, at the end of your opponent's turn, like a fact or fiction. Yeah, you sink your mana into it, and then your opponent chooses one. Not bad. I mean, it's often the case where your fact or fiction, they separate it into two piles anyway, and, you know, pile rather of one card, and the other is a decent selection of four other cards, right? Not bad. Forgotten Creation is my next card. For three and a blue, I kind of figured you would name it, but I realize now you were on a diet. For three and a blue, you get a creature zombie horror, 3/3, with skulk. And at the beginning of your upkeep, you may discard all the cards in your hand, and if you do, draw that many cards.
There aren't that many situations where I want to do that, though.
Oh, there are situations where I want to do that. I mean, you figure if...
If you're the Mimeoplasm.
Yeah, if you're the Mimeoplasm, or let's say even Sidisi, Saltai Sidisi. Yeah, not too bad. Maybe. Does Saltai Sidisi work that way? I don't play her.
Let's see.
Yeah.
What does Sidisi do again?
Oh,
it's
so hot.
Sidisi.
I'm flapping my arms to keep them cool. Which, of course, is self-defeating because it generates more heat.
Yeah. So, Sidisi Brood Tyrant, let's see, enters the battlefield or attacks, put the top three cards of your library into your graveyard, and whenever you put one or more creature cards into your graveyard from your library...
Oh yeah, so it doesn't work with
then
her.
Then you get zombie.
But it does work with the new frog.
The frog god.
Yep.
So you need a Sultai...
You're back to Tasigur.
Yeah, back to Tasigur. Anyway... I think we'll see that card a couple of times. Plus, it's a zombie horror, and as we know, horrors are supported in this set with a fancy card that I might or might not have on my list. We'll have to see. Pour Over the Pages for three and blue. a sorcery, draw three cards, untap up to two lands, then discard a card. So it's got everything you want. Most of the time in Commander, we'll pay only two mana for that because we'll untap one of the Ravnica and Bounce lands and another land. If we're lucky, we do two of those. Drawing three cards is good, and then we discard a card. Maybe it has Madness, maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's triggering Delirium. Maybe you just need another card in your graveyard for easy access. Still.
To reanimate.
Yep, exactly. And it's a little expensive. It's five for a sorcery, so it's likely you'll be doing an entire turn or half a turn at that. But it's a nice way to kind of prepare yourself for the next turn where you get to explode all over somebody.
Well, hang on. How much is, let's see, Opportunity draws four cards for six mana. Harmonize in green draws three cards for four mana.
Right. Which means that there's a blue equivalent because Harmonize was from Future Sight.
Concentrate.
Oh, there you go. Concentrate.
For two and blue. So four mana for three cards, six mana for four cards, and this one is five minus two, so three mana for...
Two cards.
Yeah, two cards.
Yep.
So this one really costs three with a rebate.
Yeah, so you're spending three to draw two cards, so it's a lot like Divination. Only you have the opportunity for a Madness trigger, a Delirium benefit, stocking your yard. And if you do it right, you're casting Divination for only two. Maybe even only one. Yeah, it's pretty good. And it's no Brain Geyser, but it'll do.
All right.
My next card is super flavorful. Startled Awake for two and blue. You get a mythic rare sorcery, so it better have a good effect, or else. Target opponent puts the top 13 cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard. Okay, that's almost good enough, isn't it? For three and blue, you can put Startled Awake from your graveyard onto the battlefield transformed, and it will roll out. Activate this ability only any time you could cast a sorcery. All right. So what do we get? We get Persistent Nightmare. Creature Nightmare, 1/1, Skulk, and when Persistent Nightmare deals combat damage to a player, return it to its owner's hand.
So you can do it again. You're paying 5 mana for a 1/1 with Skulk.
Yep, and you're basically paying 9 mana to mill 13 cards and do a point of damage.
That's no good.
But it is repeatable.
Yeah, it is. It's expensive, though.
Yeah, and it doesn't diminish like Traumatize would. And it is expensive, but we're talking about EDH. I think we're going to see this card a couple of times. I think in a dedicated mill deck, we might see it, even if only for the 13 for 4.
Because
there aren't many cards that give you that sort of effect for only 4 mana.
Yeah, there's one. There's Glimpse the Unthinkable for 2 mana.
Right.
Gets you 10 cards. But that's like a $30 card for some reason.
Glimpse the Unthinkable is $30 now?
It was surprising when I saw it. $30.38.
Holy smokes. Well, kudos to everybody who already owns one. It's got to be modern. You know what we always say. Indeed. Okay, sweat is dripping off of me now. I'll start accelerating through these, if only so that I don't pass out before the show ends. Elusive Tormentor 2 and black for a creature, vampire, wizard, a 4/4, so it's already good value. 4/1 and discard a card, transform Elusive Tormentor, and it becomes Insidious Mist, a blue card, so again, you must play this with a commander that supports both black and blue. Oh, and that's a good note about Ormondal and Westvale Abbey. That only goes into black decks, right? Or decks that have black in them already. Insidious Mist, creature elemental, 0/1, hexproof, indestructible. It can't block and can't be blocked. Whenever Insidious Mist attacks and isn't blocked, you may pay 2 and a black, and if you do, transform it. So essentially, you're paying 8 mana for an unblockable 4/4. 8 mana and discarding a card for an unblockable 4/4.
You're paying 4 mana for a 4-4, and you're paying 4 more mana for evasion.
Right.
In case it's getting destroyed by something.
Right. And there is always that ability to transform it in response to something.
Yeah.
So it'll survive a board wipe, and in fact, that's probably the way you use it, isn't it?
Yeah. I like the flavor. I don't know that it's a great card, though, but I do like what it does.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
I don't know if I would actually play it, though.
I don't know. This is another one that might see play in Tassigar. Because Tassigar will run board wipes in order to get juicy things into the graveyard. Yeah, we'll see. Ever After, 4 and black, a rare sorcery. Return up to 2 target creature cards from your graveyard to the battlefield. Each of those creatures is a black zombie, in addition to its other colors and types. Put Ever After on the bottom of its owner's library. Yay!
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You may not see it twice in a game, but you might get lucky. Relentless Dead for black. You get a 2/2 creature zombie, mythic rare, so it better be good.
It's good.
It's good. It has menace. When Relentless Dead dies, you may pay black. If you do, return it to its owner's hand. When Relentless Dead dies, you may pay X. If you do, return another target zombie creature card with converted mana cost X from your graveyard to the battlefield. That's pretty nice.
And you could do both of those at the same time.
That's right. Yep, because both triggers go on the stack. Oh, that's lovely. Mythic rare, though, and I bet this competes with us in modern. Triskaidekaphobia for 3 and a black. It's an enchantment. At the beginning of your upkeep, choose 1. Each player with exactly 13 life loses the game. Then each player gains 1 life, or each player with exactly 13 life loses the game, then each player loses 1 life. I am not sure we'll ever see it, but I expect that you're going to produce a deck that can make this happen.
I thought about it. It's not likely to work, I don't think, especially in multiplayer games.
Right. You pretty much have to pick one person off at a time.
Yeah, and then they're going to be asking for help from everyone else who can just say, please attack me for a point of damage.
Yeah, but again, if anybody can do it, Nate, it's you.
But I don't want to do it. Honestly, I don't see people with 13 life that often in Commander.
No, they usually drop precipitously from somewhere in the 20s to 0 or negative.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe down to negative 799, for example. I still remember that, and I haven't recovered yet.
Yeah.
All the 13s in that card are really cool. We encourage our listeners to count them all.
Are there 13 of them?
There are, I think there are 13. And each of the lines with each of the choices is exactly 13 words.
What?
Yep. Each player with exactly 13, which doesn't count, life, loses the game. Then each player gains 1, which doesn't count, life, 13. Neat, huh? Kudos.
Wow.
Kudos to the creative team at Wizards for coming up with that, and the rules team for coming up with rules that matched it. Dissension in the Ranks, a red card for 3 and red. Target blocking creature. It's an instant, by the way. Target blocking creature fights another target blocking creature. That really messes with the board state. It's beautiful. And that's the reason I selected Dissension in the Ranks. And this next one, Inner Struggle, 3 and a red, target creature, it's an instant. Target creature deals damage to itself equal to its power. I didn't even check to see if these are reprints, but they are really good cards. I look forward to playing them. Sin Prodder, 2 and a red, rare creature devil, 3/2, with menace. At the beginning of your upkeep, reveal the top card of your library. Any opponent may have you put that card into your graveyard. If a player does, Sin Prodder deals damage to that player equal to that card's converted mana cost. Otherwise, put that card into your hand. Again, choice, but it's one of those ways to wear your opponent down. Of course, if you draw a land or a zero-cost artifact, then it's a dead effect that turn, but I think if you can stack your deck, it'll turn out to your benefit. Yeah, we'll see. It's a nice little chaos card. Structural Distortion, 3 and a red, sorcery. This one's a common. Exile target artifact or land. Structural Distortion deals 2 damage to that permanent's controller. Is there a land giving you problems?
Not anymore.
Exile it. Yeah, exiling an artifact isn't a big deal. It is in red because, you know, red, but they're good at destroying artifacts, not typically exiling them. But the land part, you get rid of that pesky, super pesky land, whether it's a Homeward Path or a strip mine or, you know, and you want to trigger the strip mine or Rogue's Passage. The times I've killed a Rogue's Passage and then seen it return one way or another. Ugh. Now, I'm making up for the number of green cards I selected in Oath of the Gatewatch. And Nate, what did you say? I have 3.5 pages of green cards?
Yep.
Yeah, I'll try to rip through these. For 2 and a green, Autumnal Gloom, an enchantment with a black activation cost. It's actually a multicolor card there. Put the top card of your library into your graveyard. It has Delirium. At the beginning of your end step, if there are 4 more cards, blah, 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 transform Autumnal Gloom into Ancient of the Equinox. It's a 4/4 Tramplin' Hexproofin' creature tree folk. So, not too shabby there. Kind of fun.
Mm.
Yeah, you get extra utility out of putting stuff in your graveyard.
It's no thing in the ice.
It's no thing in the ice. Clip Wings for 1 and a green. Instant, common as well. Each opponent sacrifices a creature with flying. Do creatures fly much in Commander?
Mm-hmm.
And it only affects opponents. So, guess what, everybody?
Each opponent sacrifices.
Yep. Hope you didn't put a Bitter Blossom into play. Next card, Crawling Sensation, 2 and a green, enchantment. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may put the top 2 cards of your library into your graveyard. All right, not too bad. Whenever 1 or more land cards are put into your graveyard from anywhere for the first time each turn, put a 1/1 green insect creature token onto the battlefield. The Frog God is pleased with this card, Nate. The Frog God likes bugs.
Hmm.
Yeah. Not too bad.
Really?
Not too bad. What do you mean?
Well, let's see. The Frog God is already putting lands into the graveyard.
Yes. And so the Frog God will cause you to draw a card and...
And get a 1/1?
And get a 1/1.
For 3 mana, you're getting a 1/1 conditionally.
Yeah, whenever a land is put into your graveyard from anywhere. So it mills you. You might get a 1/1. You might not. Frog God ensures you get a 1/1. If you've built a deck around destroying land, as we've been known to do occasionally, there's a decent way to get a trickle of 1/1s.
But they're 1/1s.
Yeah. So the chump blockers. And we know, you know, through Marath that 1/1s actually can turn into a potent defensive force. I'm not saying it's a Craterhoof Behemoth. or a Michaeloth, or even a Forgotten Ancient.
Or From Beyond. See, From Beyond just gives you 1/1s.
Yeah, for an extra mana. And it's also not milling you.
Or Awakening Zone gives you 0/1s for free.
Yeah, for the same mana, which you can crunch into, you know, you can turn them both into 1 mana, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not milling
you. I just like those better.
Yeah. In a green dredge deck, this will see some use. Cryptolith Rite for 1 and a green, an enchantment. Creatures you control have tap, add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. Very nice.
Yeah. That could do stuff.
Yeah, that can. And it will. We'll see it. Dusk Watch Recruiter for 1 and a green. Creature, human, warrior, werewolf. Wow, 3 types. 3 tribes, one of which is neglected. You get a 2/2. 2 and a green activated ability. Look at the top 3 cards of your library. You may reveal a creature card from among them and put it into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in any order. At the beginning of each upkeep, if no spells were cast, transform Duskwatch Recruiter into Krallen Horde Howler. Creature spells you cast cost 1 less to cast. So very nice. You can probably control it and get a rebate off of some of your creatures.
Hmm. I don't know how much control you'll have over werewolf transformations in a multiplayer game, though.
I'm looking forward to the day when we have a legendary werewolf that lets you control all that.
Me too.
Yeah. Hermit of the Natternolls, 2 and a green. Human werewolf. Whenever an opponent casts a spell during your turn, draw a card. This is mitigating your opponent's ability to control your werewolves. and then transform it standard into the Lone Wolf of the Natternolls. Whenever an opponent casts a spell during your turn, draw two cards. All right. Go ahead, Swords to Plowshare this. I'll take three life and two cards. Obsessive Skinner for one and a green. Human Rogue, 1/1. When it enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature with and it has Delirium. At the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, if there are four or more card types, blah, 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 put a +1/+1 counter on target creature. Each opponent's upkeep. Yeah. That is a good card. Seasons Past for four and green. A sorcery, mythic rare. A better be good. Return any number of cards with different converted mana costs from your graveyard to your hand. Put Seasons Past on the bottom of its owner's library. Very, very nice. Looking forward to that. Super duper regrowth. And of course, if you've been throwing things in your graveyard with other cards and maybe getting a 1/1 insect out of it.
As long as you have a graveyard.
Believe me, and I have decided that in all of my graveyard recursion decks, I am going to be running anti-enchantment and anti-artifact hate.
Well, you should be anyway.
Well, I'm going to be overloading it. Unravel the Aether, Deglamour, all of the naturalizes, especially, especially Krosan Grip. All these things going into the deck so I can vaporize I'm not saying any particular player, but any particular player's enchantment that may or may not be hating on the graveyard. Second Harvest, the card spoiled by our friends Josh and Jimmy. This may be the best card they have ever spoiled, by the way.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, for two and green, you get an instant. It's rare. For each token you control, put a token onto the battlefield that's a copy of that permanent. Clearly meant to boost the number of clue tokens you have, but green is also well known for putting a bunch of tokens into play already. Fantastic. And as an instant, so ripe for abuse. You cast this the turn before you cast your Craterhoof and, well, shenanigans.
Boo. Take a drink.
Oh, wait, we're doing Craterhoof too?
I think if you've mentioned it on three different episodes, then it should be added to the list.
And you mean if any of us have mentioned a card?
Okay. Maybe we could have separate lists.
Yeah. Besides, I haven't said the other card yet. Doubling Season.
Oh, you just did.
Weirding Wood. This is one weird wood. For two and a green, uncommon enchantment, aura, enchant land. This is the mana ramp enchantment that they've started making sure goes into almost every set, certainly every block. When Weirding Wood enters the battlefield, though, investigate, and enchanted land has tap, add two mana of any one color to your mana pool. So we've seen this enchantment before in multiple guises, always useful.
And you get a clue.
Yep, and you get a clue, and if you're playing a certain Enchantress deck, then you probably draw at least one card. Not bad. Anguished Unmaking. One and a white and a black. For three converted mana cost and instant rare. That must have been my radio race announcer voice. Exile target non-land permanent. You lose three life.
Wow.
Oh. Poor Avacyn.
Get out.
Yep. She's gone. She's gone. We've been exiling Avacyn for years now. Three years, but 4 years, I guess. But it's good to have one of these. This is another instant black-white card. The last we saw was for four converted mana cost, utter end. Beautiful card. And, of course, it's Vindicate is the grandfather of them all, even though Vindicate, I believe, is a sorcery, isn't it? Yep. And it's only Destroy. Invocation of Saint Traft for one, a white, and a blue. Enchantment aura, enchant creature. Enchanted creature acts a lot like Geist of Saint Traft.
In fact, a lot like Geist of Saint Traft.
It likes it so much, it becomes It's cosplaying as Geist of St. Draft. So you drop a 4/4 angel that vaporizes at the end of combat. It's lovely. I cannot wait to put this on the Geist of St. Draft.
I could have a Reaper King of St. Draft.
Yes, you
for
could.
Some reason.
Yeah. That would be fun.
Oh, maybe if I conspiracy the angels into scarecrows.
Oh. There you go.
There's a lot of moving parts to that.
There are a lot of moving parts to that. I could have a Rune of St. Draft. A Daxus of Miletus of St. Draft. Murderer's Axe.
Marebear of St. Draft.
Ooh. I don't like that one, though.
Nobody does. Apparently everyone hates Marebear.
Is that everyone in the world or everybody we play with?
Well, everybody I've played against so far.
Yeah. Well, Marebear ruins everybody's fun.
That's Marebear.
You don't bring her to parties.
I bring her to your parties.
Yes, whereupon I would hopefully then use the murderer's axe. For 4, it's an equipment. Equipped creature gets +2/+2. But the really valuable part of this is the equip cost is discard a card.
Hmm.
Yeah. I think triggering madness for free is going to become important, especially if we build an EDH deck that includes it. This effectively triggers it for free and gives you a bonus of +2/+2. For free, obviously, on the turn you're using it. Warped Landscape, common land. Tap, add colorless to your mana pool for 2 and a tap. Sacrifice Warped Landscape. Search your library for a basic land card and put it onto the battlefield tap, then shuffle your library. So it's another fetch land, generates colorless. I was talking with Judson on Twitter, and he pointed out that there's another card that does this. I don't remember what that card was, and like I said, I'm sort of passing out here. Next card is Choked Estuary. Choked Estuary. It's a rare land. As Choked Estuary enters the battlefield, you may reveal an island or swamp card from your hand. If you don't, Choked Estuary enters the battlefield tapped. So there's a whole cycle of these in allied colors, 5 cards. And people are calling them a bunch of different things, and there was actually a big argument about what they should be called. But the right thing to call them, of course, is reveal lands. And that was the entire reason that card was in there. I do not like these cards, to be honest with you. But there you go.
They're okay.
Yeah, they're okay. They're okay.
They're better than a guild gate.
They are better than a guild gate, but 99% of the time. No, not 99% of the time, but some significant percent of the time, they are going to be just like a guild gate.
Yeah.
And as we know, we don't run guild gates.
I don't.
Too slow, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounded like you had more to say there.
Yeah, I'd rather have a basic land if it's going to come in tapped.
Yep. Yeah, I'm the same way. Most of the time we need speed, and I'd rather have one generic mana that comes into play and is usable than a delay in fixing your mana. Because you don't get ahead, and then next turn, sure, you get the extra, you're fixed, but it's slow.
Yeah, that delay gets you killed.
Yeah, it does. All right. So, Nate, that was the end of my monumental list.
Wow.
My epic poem of Shadows Over Innistrad. Let's talk about the Planeswalkers in this set.
All right.
And this first Planeswalker you should talk about because it took our legendary werewolf away.
Arlen Cord, 2 red green, Planeswalker Arlen, 3 loyalty, +1 until end of turn, up to 1 target creature, gets +2/+2, and gains vigilance and haste. That's useful.
Yeah, that is.
Or for 0... put a 2/2 green wolf creature token onto the battlefield. Transform Arlen Cord into Arlen Embraced by the Moon. Planeswalker Arlen. +1. All creatures you control get +1/+1 and gain trample until end of turn. -1. Arlen Embraced by the Moon deals 3 damage to target creature or player, and you transform her back. Or -6. You get an emblem. Hey, we like emblems, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. This one says, creatures you control have haste, and you can tap it to deal damage equal to its power to target creature or player.
Good thing red and green aren't known for their high-power creatures.
Mm-mm. Or their infect creatures.
Oh, stop it. Oh.
Infect. Poison, poison, poison. Tap, 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 tap.
There are now cards that will destroy the Planeswalker directly, mm-hmm. by the way. So, she's going away. What do you think? You like her?
I kind of do. It's going to take several turns to get that emblem, though.
Yeah, well, it takes at least two, right? With a certain card that would require someone to imbibe.
Four, five. It would take five turns without any shenanigans.
Any doubling shenanigans?
Yeah, at a certain time of year. In an annual quadrant.
Would you rather have a legendary werewolf?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Hey, this set's Jace is next.
The seasonal Jace.
Yeah, the seasonal Jace. And by seasonal, we mean, of course, every season.
It's Jace season.
But, you know, on the plus side, it's like every other set has a picture of Gavin Verhey in it, so.
Right.
Yeah. If you've never read his story about falling into a volcano, it's worthwhile.
Hmm.
Jace, Unraveler of Secrets for 3 and blue. Planeswalker Jace with 5 loyalty counters. Plus 1, scry 1, then draw a card. Minus 2, return target creature to its owner's hand. Minus 8, you get an emblem with, whenever an opponent casts his or her first spell each turn, counter that spell.
That's annoying.
Womp womp. Yeah, hey, Jace annoying?
Yep.
Oh, you get the nice one.
The next one is Nahiri the Harbinger. 2 red white. Planeswalker Nahiri, loyalty 4. Plus 2, you may activate madness. If you do, draw a card. Minus 2, and I think this minus 2 is going to get a lot of use. Exile, target enchantment, tapped artifact, or tapped creature.
Yeah.
Minus 8, search your library for an artifact or creature card, put it onto the battlefield, and give it haste, and then hit somebody with it, and then return it to your hand at the beginning of the next end step.
So she's dashing something big.
Yep. Mm. Here comes Hasty Kozlek.
That's not pleasant.
Skadoosh. Kablam. Kazowie.
Yeah, she's going to see some use. And for only 4 mana, she might see use outside of our format, too. Pretty brutal. All right. Last Planeswalker. Yeah, there are 4 Planeswalkers this set, which means that we might only see 1 Planeswalker next set. Or maybe 2, and we'll have more Planeswalkers than usual per year. Sorin, Grim Nemesis. Someone has made Sorin Grim and a Nemesis for 4 and a white-black. You get another Planeswalker Sorin with 6 loyalty counters, by the way.
That's a bunch.
Yeah, it's a bunch. For plus 1, reveal the top card of your library and put that card into your hand. Each opponent loses life equal to its converted mana cost.
I like it.
The best part of Dark Confidant, and your opponents pay the price.
Pay.
Minus X. Sorin, Grim Nemesis deals X damage to target creature or planeswalker, and you gain X life.
Gimme.
Yep, not too bad. Minus 9. Put a number of 1/1 black vampire knight creature tokens with lifelink onto the battlefield equal to the highest life total among all players.
That's almost a storm herd.
Yeah, almost. Almost. And yet so much more fun.
Vampire swarm.
Yep. If you can get up to that minus 9 ability, it's been a fun journey anyway. Although, interestingly, I'm realizing now that the plus 1 works against the minus 9. So, there you go. I look forward to putting 40-odd 1/1 black vampire knights into play.
Whee!
So we got a bunch of legendary creatures, and we should talk about them.
All right.
Are you excited about the new Avacyn? Archangel Avacyn for 3W. Legendary creature angel has flash, has flying vigilance. When Archangel Avacyn enters the battlefield, creatures you control gain indestructible until end of turn. What? A board wipe?
No. No.
Oh, hey, when a non-angel creature you control dies, transform Archangel Avacyn at the beginning of the next upkeep into Avacyn the Purifier, played by Christine Sprankle. You get a flying legendary creature angel. Oh, yeah. And Archangel Avacyn is 4/4, but she gets even archer. She becomes a 6/5.
She's archier.
She's archier. Flying, when this creature transforms into Avacyn the Purifier, it deals 3 damage to each other creature and each opponent. Boom.
Mm. So if this is your commander, who's going to board wipe?
Well, you are.
Right.
Late game, you drop a Day of Judgment or Wrath of God, and you pop her into play. Now you've got a board, and your opponents don't.
But if she's sitting in your command zone, then nobody else can play a board wipe while you have mana.
Yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Tee-hee. You get the best of the lot.
I don't know about that. This guy's weird. The Gitrog monster.
Gitrog.
Gitrog.
Also known as Frog God.
So what is he?
He's the Frog God. He's the god of all frogs, Nate.
It looks like it, yeah. He's been chewing on some shoulder.
Yeah, he's got something in his, stuck between his teeth there.
Mm-hmm.
Little something.
Need a toothpick.
Mm-hmm.
For 3, a black, green, legendary creature frog horror. They can make a legendary frog, but not a legendary werewolf. 6/6 with death touch. Okay, that's respectable. At the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice the Gitrog monster unless you sacrifice a land. You may play an additional land on each of your turns to make up for that. And whenever one or more land cards are put into your graveyard from anywhere, draw a card.
Yes.
So one or more land cards. You get to draw one card every time that a bunch of lands go into your graveyard.
Right. And that bunch is anywhere from 1 to infinity. More likely 80.
80?
Yeah, you figure, you know, if it's super.
You're
going to
play an 80 land Gitrog monster deck?
No, in order to draw more land so that you can get more land? No, I'm just thinking about a massive land destruction deck that captures everything at late game and it's 20 cards each. It's not. Remember, I'm having heat stroke right now. Quickly, Charles, a heat stroke joke. Well, I like it. I'm going to figure out a way to make this work in its own deck. I know okay. Johnny Crass has already done it.
All right.
Yep. So I'm going to look at Johnny Crass's deck, and we'll go back and forth on Twitter. Of course, by the time you hear this, the conversation will be over. No, it won't be over. It'll be just beginning because the Frog God is eternal. All hail the Frog God.
Tassiger could use him.
Yep.
And if you're making people discard, if you're making everyone discard on, or mill on everyone else's turn.
Right.
Then you can and draw cards everyone's turn.
The lands that cycle.
Yep.
So now they are discard a land, draw 2 cards. Yep. So they pay 1 or 2 and draw 2 cards. That'll be fun. Hey, here's the actual most useful. We should have switched the order around here. I didn't think of that. I'm sorry. Audric, Lunark Marshal, for 3W. Legendary creature, human soldier, 3/3. At the beginning of each combat, creatures you control gain first strike until end of turn if a creature you control has first strike. The same is true for flying, death touch, double strike, haste, hexproof, indestructible, lifelink, menace, reach, skulk, trample, and vigilance.
Teamwork.
What's gonna work? Teamwork.
Go all the parents team. Got
that. So, Nate, you've been playing with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
He's okay.
Just okay?
He can clobber stuff.
So his only makes your team safe for half of each opponent's turn.
In your playtesting, have you found that people shoot him before combat begins?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what do you do about that?
You hit him with the rest of your stuff. You respond by hitting them.
So you end up having to build a really solid mono-white deck, and in your case, you're building angels and humans, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad he's not a knight.
No, soldiers are okay.
Yeah, they are. All right. Oh, here's your darling, isn't she?
Eh, I'm not. Nah.
But she is a knight.
She is a knight. Olivia mobilized for war. It's Angry Olivia. 1 black red, legendary creature, vampire knight, 3/3, flying. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, you may discard a card. If you
madness.
Do, put a +1/+1 counter on that creature. It gains haste until end of turn and it becomes a vampire in addition to its other types.
Pretty good.
I think Marquesa would like her.
Yeah, that's true.
Because she puts counters on creatures.
Yeah, Marquesa likes counters. Hmm. Well, she goes into an Olivia deck, doesn't she?
Hmm. I don't know.
Really?
What does she do for you in an Olivia deck?
Well, she's another vampire, first of all. And Olivia, you're playing Vampire Tribal.
Yeah.
So
her power turns your creatures into vampires, which they already are.
Well, it gives them a +1/+1 counter.
Yeah. If you discard a card. I don't like that part.
And, of course, if you need some utility creatures that may not be vampires, such as a Master of Cruelties, then now your master is a vampire, gets all the vampire bonuses.
Hmm.
And all you had to do is pitch an extra land or activate a madness cost.
Hmm.
Yeah. Are we done with her?
Yes.
Sigarda, Heron's Grace, for 3 and a green white. We needed another Selesnya commander. She is a 4/5 angel with flying, of course. You and humans you control have hexproof. That's excellent. Saves me a card slot. No longer need to put in Orbs of Warding or Witchbane Orb. Yep. Or Leyline of Sanctity. Okay, you still put all those in. For 2, exile a card from your graveyard. Put a 1/1 white human soldier creature token onto the battlefield. That's not too bad. If you're not recurring a lot of things, and this is calling out for human tribal, basically, then it does all right. You get even more hexproofed humans to beat your opponents with.
Yeah, kind of like Farika.
Ah, Farika.
Turning your graveyard into 1/1s.
Yeah, except these have an upside. These automatically have an upside, too. They don't need any sort of enhancement. Because she is giving them hexproof, so you're not going to get shot, you little 1/1 human guy.
Aww.
Yeah.
I want to shoot him.
Nope, you can't shoot him. He's got hexproof.
Eh.
Yeah, you got to shoot some other guy. Maybe that guy's other guy.
Hmm.
Hey, you want to talk about the legendary werewolf?
Oh, yeah. I would love to talk about the legendary werewolf.
Oh. But you can't.
I can't. Because there isn't one.
Yep. We got a legendary frog horror, though. So,
yeah.
All hail the frog god. So, it's not a total loss.
We could talk about Tulsimir Wolf's blood and pretend that that's a werewolf.
All right. This is official. We are asking Wizards of the Coast to go back in time and make sure that there is a legendary werewolf in Eldritch Moon and then move the release date up to coincide with Shadows over Innistrad. The whining is going to be so intense. Please, please.
That sounds overly complex.
Yeah, it was a little too complex.
Because they could have just gone back in time and done it in Shadows over Innistrad instead of doing it in Eldritch Moon and then changing the release date of the Eldritch Moon set.
But we've already done a show for Shadows over Innistrad.
But if we're talking about time travel anyway, we could go back and redo the show.
Well, we wouldn't have time travel. It would be Wizards of the Coast.
But and then so, if they had done that, then there would already be a legendary werewolf we could talk about.
Yes. But by definition, we know that they haven't done that. But maybe they have done the thing with Eldritch Moon.
No. Because it hasn't happened yet for it to happen.
Well, we don't know if it's happened yet. They might surprise us with Eldritch Moon release on Friday for the pre-release of Shadows Over Innistrad.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Hey, man, it could.
Nope.
You have a message of the week, don't you?
Oh, yeah. If you missed Kyle MacLachlan in his character on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you can see him on the card Malevolent Whispers.
Yes.
Where he's doing his Kyle MacLachlan face, being angry and cheerful at the same time.
It's great. And I think the same character is implied on Murderous Compulsion, but it's a lot harder to see. And this guy is all, and really the only thing that makes me think that is this guy is also smiling as he plunges a knife into some other dude's heart.
But that's a different actor, though.
Yeah, I mean, it probably the same character, different actor, though.
I think that's Christoph Waltz.
Oh, do you?
Maybe, on Murderous Compulsion.
Hmm. I do like looking back at the set from all of a day's worth of spoilers. I do like the way they enhanced the uncertainty and the madness and the paranoia. They turned it from just pure gothic horror with all of the vampires and zombies and stuff into insanity. And the card Anguished Unmaking really kind of shows that Soren isn't insane, right? He's not mad. He's not crazy. I get the feeling like he's trying to keep everything together and hold it all together while the plane just falls apart.
Yeah, but we're not here to talk about the United States presidential elections. We're here to talk about Magic the Gathering cards.
And it's almost the end of the show.
It's almost the end of the show.
And Nate, I want to reiterate, we love our listeners and our viewers on YouTube. They're fun. They tell us what they think. Huge numbers of them are writing to us. We might have to record something special after I crunch some numbers and figure out who won our contest, because we have a whole bunch of submissions. Many more submissions than I expected, frankly.
Did they get them all right?
Some of them got them all right.
Really?
Yeah.
Even on Logan's contest?
Even on Logan's contest. And if you want to hang out, get together a little bit later today, I'll crunch the numbers. We can actually do it together. Along the way, they tell us, you know, what they like about the show, what they don't like. They tell us when we're off base. We even heard from people who thought maybe it was possible that Jyn Kataxias could be cast as a non-Phyrexian card or an anti-Phyrexian Phyrexian Praetor. So if you like us, please go up to iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating. It doesn't take us very long. And if you really, really like us, we would greatly appreciate 1/3 of a cup of coffee from you every week. Go up to our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/commanderandmtg, and just donate a buck a show. We have a goal. We need to get to a $100 per episode goal so that we can really just keep doing this at the levels we've been doing. So help us get there. Tell all your friends. Tell yourself. Tell your other personalities. Nate, who created our theme song? I always forget. Oh, yeah. And it's a wonderful theme song.
I did that.
I like the variation we've been using recently. It has more Sean in it than the previous one. And I miss Sean. We hope he comes back soon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and for the record, Sean wants to be here. Yeah, among other things, he's lost his computer. So really, we're just waiting for Sean to get a new computer. Hurry up, Sean.
Yeah.
Our logo was created for the podcast by Mr. Picto with assistance from Kelly. Special thanks to our tech whizzes, Jesse Thompson and Graham Frank, and to Justin for his service pace. And super special thanks to all of our patrons on Patreon, especially Robin, Alex, Bradford, Jackie. And there may be one or two more that I name in just a few days. You can reach us by going to our website, which is commanderandmtg.com. Our email address is cast@commanderandmtg.com. Nate, where can they find us?
Internet.
Indeed. How would they find us?
Searching for Commander and MTG podcast.
Yes, that's the easy way. On Twitter, I'm at Ketjak, KETJAK.
I'm at Mr. Plorg with a P.
And Sean, of course, is at Copain26 with a six.
Mm-hmm. That's where you send your complaints.
Yes, send all your complaints to his Twitter account, at Copain26.
You don't even have to be complaining about our show.
No, just any complaint. Like your back hurts, maybe you've got a bunion on your foot, maybe your cat is thrown up under your bed.
Oh, man.
Oh. And that's our show. Snuck up on you. Nah.
Go Mandarin!